Who said I see walking in these woods?
Why, it's Little Red Riding Hood. Hey there, Little Red Riding Hood. You sure are looking good.
And welcome back to the second hour of... Oh, is he going to say it? Oh, there you go. I asked since we were going to talk about wolves, I couldn't resist. So, second hour of We the People. Join us online, wethepeopleradio.us. Our guest today is Jim Beers. And now we're talking about crazy environmental policy. So my name's Aaron Ryan.
And I'm Bill Cundiff, and our sponsor this hour is Pape Machinery, our local John Deere. Hey, whoa. Whoa, don't mess with my microphone.
You sounded like you were outside.
Okay. Our sponsor this hour
is... like swinging his head around. He's like looking all over the room.
Pape Machinery. Pape Machinery is our local John Deere ag and turf dealer. And they can get you pretty much anything you want. If it's green and says John Deere on it, give them a call. They can fix you up. Full parts, sales, and service. They're located at 3119 Twinview Boulevard in Shasta Lake City. They also handle Honda, great line of generators. They got the full generator line in stock. So, you know, next time California
you still live
decides,
in California.
Yeah, you're going to need a generator, I guarantee you. Stop by and see them. And you can also get them on the web at papemachinery.com or give them a call at 226-9226, Pape Machinery.
Well, there you have it.
Yeah.
So we have posted some really good information online for today's program. We're airing this live on January 12th, 2020, the Eco Policy Crazy Train with our guest Jim Beers. So without derailing any of this any further, let's go back to the snares on the fence line so we can talk about wolves just a tiny bit.
Yeah, anyway, Northern California, he's putting the snare on late at night. He hears crunch, 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 a truck coming down the gravel road near where he's at, doing what he's not supposed to be doing, but he's on his own property. So he's back in the trees there, and he said the vehicle had no lights on, and it stopped about 100 yards from him, and he watched. Two guys got out, looked around, listened for a minute or two, went to the back, pulled a canvas off of a culvert that they had in the back of the pickup, opened up the back end of the pickup, and out flies a mountain lion, a cougar.
Oh, nice.
And they close it up, get back in, drove right by him, but they still had their lights off until they got way down the road. They turned them on and went off. And he told me, he says it's probably a cougar from down in San Francisco or Los Angeles somewhere, and everybody thinks that they don't need to trim down the numbers of those cougars. So they say, well, we'll live trap them and take them up and release them in the wilderness. Well, he says, I got plenty of cougars up here. He said, I got enough cougar problems without them bringing more in. But that's the kind of policies you've got going on right now that make it look good. You say, oh, I've got a cougar problem. The state says, oh, we'll take care of it. We'll live trap them and take them to the wilderness. And they do that, and it either beats its way back there or more of them just move in from around there because you've got too many of them. Like you've got too many wolves in many areas. You've got too many grizzly bears in many areas, both for human safety, livestock safety, big game numbers, and other things like diseases and that. So none of that's being managed. It's all these people that are in the government now telling you they're the experts running all this stuff, writing the regulations and helping the politicians write the laws for it, are all really activists with an activist bent because that's why they were put in there.
Right.
This is the brave new world kind of thing. And it's too bad if you don't like it, but people like you are dying out, so... whatever,
well, and nine times out of ten, the people they put in these areas aren't familiar with the local economies. They aren't familiar with the local businesses, and they take none of that into consideration when they're, you know, transplanting bears or lions or you know, stopping you from trapping a ground squirrel. I mean, they don't understand the implications of mismanagement, but They just do it.
But
it's not mismanagement. They think it's sort of their divine mission.
I was gonna say they're omnipotent. So
right.
Pretty much leaving
exactly.
Leaving
you know,
wild animals on your property
passed,
is.
Yeah. When they go into Washington and they pass laws like this, They've got a Senate and a House for the last 40 years that depends on mainly on urban voters and suburban voters. And those people, I mean, as far as politically, they've been very harsh on their rural neighbors.
Mm-hmm.
The way they've passed regulations and passed laws and allowed regulations to be written that really disadvantage rural people and their communities greatly without caring about it. They're voting right now to put wolves back into Colorado, and all the signatures they got to put it on the ballot and everything was all Denver and Aurora, Colorado, and that big urban thing there in Colorado that's the majority of the votes, kind of like Chicago is for Illinois or San Francisco and Los Angeles are for California. They run a place politically, and they either take delight in it or, again, feel this sort of religious fervor that it's good to not use fur, and we'll force everybody not to do that. We'll put the furriers out of business.
Well, one of the death blows they pulled in California was the whole spotted owl debacle. They killed multiple communities. They shut down the logging community in a lot of these areas. As a consequence of that, there was no more timber tax that went directly to the local schools. So schools were impacted. They dropped sports programs. People moved away. I mean, it had a huge impact that they didn't even take into consideration when they did that.
And for the people who really only care about the owls and couldn't care less about the people, by the way, it didn't help them either.
No, it didn't.
That's exactly right. And law enforcement was hurt a lot there because they didn't have the money to put in the sheriff's department.
That's right.
That's right.
No police, no fire, no schools, all that timber tax
women
went away.
Women were calling in 911 about their husband out there. She's got a restraining order against him, and he's kicking in the door saying he's going to kill her. They say, well, we'll get there tomorrow. It's the earliest we can get there.
Yeah.
And that's the kind of stuff.
And then they want to take people's guns away all at the same time. So just not to put too fine a point on it. But, the other thing, too, with that, so they moved it to payment in lieu of taxes. And now the bodies that pass that in the House and the Senate, you know, the people who have to vote on it, they don't see any urgency for what they call PILT, payment in lieu of taxes.
Right.
They don't see any urgency for that because they consider it rural welfare. And it's like, by the way, you stole our land that we can't use, and we can't use the resources to offset.
We no longer get tax money from it.
Right. And so they want it all set aside for, quote, public land. But, and that's, I guess, another pet peeve we have around here.
But they get to vote every year or 2 years on the amount of PILT payments that are going to go out. The payment in lieu of taxes. And that's a political decision at the time. There's no problem for any of those politicians if they don't vote any money for it.
Well, and the hard part is every time that comes up, the counties can't budget. They don't.
Of course.
How do they know what they're going to?
But they don't want the local government to get in the way of anything.
Well, that's
true. Whether it's them saying there's going to be wolves in here, or we're going to have grizzly bears here, and you better not shoot any of them, or whatever it is they want to do. They don't want, just like they don't want the people armed with guns out there, they don't want the local government to have activist sheriffs and county commissioners that say what the cities are saying right now, like you live in and whatever in states, oh, we're going to be a sanctuary. We're not going to go along with those laws. You see here, in our county, we're not going to go along with your new gun laws, and we're not going to go along with your wolves thing. And they say, well, you can't do that. But then they turn around. And they say, well, we're not going to go along with the federal government's immigration. We're not going to go
Yeah, exactly.
Kind of funny, and that all works out.
That's all okay.
Well, we've seen, I guess we should take a really quick break and come back and discuss it, but we've seen a lot of interplay out here in rural America between the courts and the agencies, and frankly, bottom guy on the totem pole is the guy that owns the property, who raises our food. And the men and the women who do that, it's really a travesty.
That doesn't affect me. My food comes from the grocery store.
That's right. Meat comes from the butcher.
That's right.
But we don't know what he's doing back there. It just comes from that case out front. So here we'll play a little flyover states in homage to our friends in rural America.
Guys in first class on a flight from New York to Los Angeles, kind of making small talk, killing time, flirting with the flight attendants. 30,000
Oklahoma. Just a bunch of square cornfields and wheat farms, man, it all looks the same. Miles and miles of back roads and highways connecting little towns with funny names. Who'd want to live down there in the middle of nowhere? They've never drove through Indiana. Met the man who plowed that earth, planted that seed, busted his ass for you and me. You're caught a harvest moon in Kansas. They'd understand why I got made those flyover states.
A man a free house and he'll bust out the windows, put his family on food stamps. Now he's a big spender, no food on the table, and the bills ain't paid, cause he's spending on cigarettes and PGA. They'll turn us all into beggars, cause they're easier to please. They're feeding our people that government cheese.
Isn't that the truth? So, Jim, what have we missed? I know there's just a ton that you can go into with all of this.
I hope I've just given you an idea of how the agencies have changed and what you're dealing with there with these career bureaucrats that you think care about the resource or that, when they're really, I guess, social activists for a whole range of hidden agendas, from guns and getting rid of small government to taking complete control and possession of just about all of rural America eventually, and on a sort of a jihad move to do away with logging and grazing and wildlife management, all of which has to be done differently in different areas for different purposes. The idea that there's one way to stop catastrophic fires is kind of silly. But, I mean, you could deal with the fuel. It's a big one big thing they all have in common. But that science, the history and the results of various attempts to manage the trees in northern Utah like this, or to graze cattle in eastern Oregon like this, or to have more elk than you've got currently or less, all have different effects. And when you apply them, it's a constant balancing act. These people don't want to balance any of that. They just want the people out of there, and they use it as an excuse, this native ecosystem restoration. They have the grizzly bears and the wolves and all of that balance the ecosystem, which is just a lie. I mean, that's all it is.
Well, what we see in large part, especially with our water issues, our rivers and whatnot, is they have these river restoration plans. And so first they intend to wreck the place. They're going to, you know, release 20 million cubic yards of sediment, you know, 160, 180 miles to the ocean. That's going to magically, I guess, go away, which we all know it won't. So they're going to create really a Superfund site, and then we're going to restore it. We're going to restore it to this pristine condition. And the funny part is the pictures that they show have nothing to do with reality. That's never how that river looked prior to dams being put in. I see the same thing with the animals. They want to restore these animals, but not in the numbers and locations where those animals actually were to begin with.
Well, you know, Australia, like North America, When Europeans first arrived there, look totally different than they do right now. And I don't mean because there are farms right now and a lot of roads and cities, but that the native people learned to live with fire to keep more open savannas for more grazing animals so that they can hunt them and that. And they knew that if they let things get too grown up, too brushy and then too treesy, there were fires, they would have to flee and probably get run over by these fires. So they were constantly managing the land around them. And we have this notion, this silly, silly notion, that those people just didn't know what they were doing. They were just, you know, backward native people that couldn't even, you know, write their language down, blah, blah, blah. And they didn't do anything like that. They just lived here. But that's the way it should be.
Or worse yet, it took care of itself through the magic of nature.
Exactly. You left when everything was bad.
Mm-hmm. We showed up and it all got bad. It's like, no.
Exactly. That's what all this, a lot of this is just trying to assuage guilt is what it is. Because they teach you that and tell you that those first Europeans, they were just awful, awful people. They destroyed everything, blah, blah, blah. And we are going to restore that native ecosystem and all of this wonderful kumbaya sort of living with nature. And we're all going to stop using fossil fuels. And we're not going to use any oil out of the ground for anything. And we're going to just have windmills and mirrors all around. And somehow we'll get through the next 1,000 years. Which is crazy.
And if we don't chop the birds up, we'll burn them up. And, you know, it was interesting. This morning before the program, we were out driving. So I took Bill to go see these new houses that they're building on the edge of town. And, okay, I think they're hideous. They look like, I mean, houses all look like boxes. I realize they're mostly square. But these literally look like boxes. They're kind of a flat roof deal with glass panels in their garage doors. And a real sort of odd modern look. Anyway, the model home, what was it, $800,000?
Yeah, but it came with a pool. $800,000.
Oh, hell, I didn't realize it had a pool. Yeah, that's amazing.
Yeah.
I'm sure it's square, too. But, who's going to afford that? And I guess if you live in the Bay Area, $800,000 would be, that'd be a sweet deal. However, here...
No.
You can get a nice house for $300,000.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, that's the wave of the future. This is what was it called? It wasn't called a modern house, but...
Contemporary
model house.
Yeah.
And I thought, okay, well, that's completely out of reach for most people. So if that's, and it's supposed to be all, you know, it's got the solar stuff, and I guess it has all those kinds of features. But that's not something that's available to most people. 99%.
Yeah, that's right. That's exactly right. There's these distortions, and that's just a word to talk about variance from what we know commonsensically has been working and what we want for our kids and grandkids. These distortions are put in there by people that don't share our values or respect for our culture or anything. And they want to destroy most of that because they think they're going to build something better. And all they're making is what they did with the forests and grazing lands, just big fire fuel pits. And what they're making with all of these predators that they're protecting, which is a place you can't raise cattle, have dogs outside where you can't let your kids run loose and that. There's just a lot of distortions and the checks and balances on it, either from the lawyers or the auditors or anything, have all been distorted as well. So it's a big job. It takes more than just appointing a better secretary over a department or making a new agency head.
Well, we're developing a greater and greater disconnect between the people that live in the cities and the people that live in the rural areas. They have no idea how life is in rural America, but because most of the people live in the cities, they get to make all the rules for the people in the rural areas. And consequently, the people in the rural areas end up moving to the city because they can't afford to live on their own land anymore.
Exactly, which is what they know is going to happen. And the same thing is happening internationally with wildlife. When we look at the way the UN is manipulated by moneyed individuals and powerful Western nations to keep people in Africa in sort of a quasi game farm atmosphere, and we don't allow them to manage their own elephants and rhinoceroses and lions and leopards and all of this for their own benefit.
Which they've done for thousands of years.
Exactly. They've stopped all of that. There's no equilibrium there with anything anymore, and it's getting more and more difficult to keep these animals in there. They're overpopulated as can be in South Africa with elephants, even as we talk right now. And, I mean, elephants are a bad thing to have overpopulating because they eat lots. They trample through crops. They run through villages and trample on kids. And it's a big problem. But
it's the same problem they're having.
The world won't let them deal with it.
Right. Well, they have that same problem with the polar bears. You know, they've told everybody that, oh, they're endangered and they're out on a little sliver of ice drowning because there's no more ice pack. And yet they're coming into the towns. There's so many of them and basically threatening, you know, like you say, the kids, the dogs, the cats. I mean, there's too many of them.
Yep.
And that's the case with so much of the wildlife now. They have this hands-off policy until, you know, somebody gets eaten by a wolf. And then, oh, well, that was just one bad wolf.
But they always tell you that that never happens. Nobody gets attacked by a wolf.
Oh, yeah. It's always extremely rare.
Yeah.
That's the words they use all. It's extremely rare that the shark...
Until it's not.
Except for the dad that's getting pulled out of his tent, and the wife and the kid are, like, holding on to him as he's getting pulled away by a wolf.
And even the effects of this, here in Minnesota, when they protected the wolves here, we've had wolves. They did not get rid of all the wolves in Minnesota ever. They've always had a pretty good population here. But when the federal government took over, the numbers increased tenfold of wolves. Well, as the wolves increased, the moose numbers just went down and down and down.
Exactly.
We used to have a moose hunting season here. No more. It was closed about 10 years ago, and I don't think it will ever again be reopened.
Well, they've decimated
the... Because we just don't have hardly any
moose. Yeah, they've decimated the elk herds in Yellowstone. Used to be the largest elk herds in the country. And because of the wolf population, they're a fraction of what they used to be. And now they've
still got universities and newspapers telling you that that's not true. It was climate change that did it.
No.
And it was the fact that there was too many cattle being grazed over here. And all of this other stuff. We've got unknown diseases, and we need more money for research.
Right.
We've got all of these excuses that these guys and girls know are a lie. They don't have to have a biology degree for that.
Mm-hmm.
And yet they still do it because that's what is required of the job.
But it would sure be nice if people in those positions had a biology degree and understood how it really works out there in the wild. You know,
if you
put more wolves out on the ground, it's not going to increase the beaver population. And that's, you know, another lie that they're...
Well, the incentives are not there to do those things. In fact, those are the things that they will punish if you do them anymore.
Yeah.
So it's either get along here or get out of here.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, do it our way or else. And
exactly.
Meanwhile, you see all these populations decline. You look at the destruction that it's causing. So these policies are obviously incorrect, but there seems to be no fix in sight. We've got to take another really quick break. We're going to come back with our guest, Mr. Jim Beers. And you're listening to We the People. Join us online, wethepeopleradio.us. Our guest, Mr. Jim Beers. You know, I'm having Ashley queue up a video because this YouTube video had 40, God, what did I just say? I just said it and it made me mad and I forgot the number, 41 million views or something.
Like 140 million views.
It just was, you know, I was like 40, here it is, 41 million and some change. And I've heard from a lot of people over the years. I don't remember when this, 2014 is when it came out. People actually believed it. I mean, it was supposed to, they pitched it as reality, but they claimed that this was all real. And I know you know this one, Jim. Do we have it, Ashley? Almost. Oh, okay. And it's part of how people become completely upside down in their education of how the ecosystem works, about how animals work out in out in the wild. I mean, it's crazy. Yeah.
Well, it's their source of
science. Yeah. You know, and just not to put too much information here, but I just want you to know that Bill will be biting on his arm because the sound of this guy's voice just sends him into a rage. Makes it fun to play. All right, hit it, Ashley. That's the part that makes me mad, actually, right there.
One of the most exciting scientific findings of the past half century has been the discovery of widespread trophic cascades. A trophic cascade is an ecological process which starts at the top of the food chain and tumbles all the way down to the bottom. And the classic example is what happened in the Yellowstone National Park in the United States when wolves were reintroduced in 1995. Now, we all know that wolves kill various species of animals, but perhaps we're slightly less aware that they give life to many others.
Oh, just stop it there. It's just too ridiculous.
Before the wolves turned up, they'd been absent.
Do you remember when that came out, Jim?
Yes, I do.
God. I mean,
I've written several things about it. I mean, the first thing, you know, they were bragging in that thing about the stream banks coming back.
Oh, all right.
Along the stream banks.
The grass and the bunny rabbits.
The big benefit of willows along the stream banks, and no denying it, is it stabilizes the bank somewhat, and it gives them shade in the water, keeps the water cooler, and it's very good for trout. But these people don't care about trout fishing or stabilizing the bank. It's all just propaganda with them. And I said to a couple of Park Service biologists when they brought this up to me, what about the trophic cascade and what we're getting with stream banks? And I said, if in fact stream banks were so important for the last 50 years in Yellowstone National Park and you didn't have enough songbirds in there, all you needed to do was start reducing the elk herd. But I said, you chose not to do that. That's got nothing to do with too many of this or we need wolves. All the wolves are going to do is what they did, is almost make the elk extinct in the park, got rid of most of the moose for sure. And I said, what good is that? I said, if you had any sensible approach to this, you would have just reduced the number of elk to have more songbirds and more willows along the streams, which may or may not be a good thing in the long run for people that come to the park, because they all like to take pictures of the elk, but the elk are gone now. Mm-hmm. With the moose.
This 4 minutes and 33 seconds of stupidity, it just, you know, the wolves came in, and because they hadn't been there in whatever 100 years or something, you know, it magically changed the entire ecosystem. And I laughed with a friend of mine. He's like, huh, we haven't had hunting in Yellowstone for a hunt. Back, see what happens.
Yeah, exactly.
It's like, oh my gosh, that's a great point.
This is all human management of the environment, like we make the environment with criminals and with prisons and laws and roads and traffic and lights.
That's
and,
I mean, true. We let a lot of wolves out of there, too.
And we do that for human benefit. And that's not to say it's a wonderful thing that we appreciate these animals and their species and their presence, and that we tolerate some of them or for whatever purposes here, there, and everywhere. But to say we don't want this kind of animal here where we're raising cattle and sheep, and we've got dogs out there and kids waiting for school buses, and all of this is not some sort of radical ecosystem hatred. It's just simply value decisions for the kind of world that we want to live in, and we try to maintain as many species and as much diversity as we can. But that doesn't mean that we're going to bring saber-toothed tigers back in here if we can get them, or put tigers loose here. We're just not going to do that.
No,
you know,
and that's,
I mean,
that part, it blows my mind that they can't come to terms with such a simple idea as that you can't have certain species walking up and down the street with people. They don't
mix. Well, that's why we whittled the wolves down a long time ago.
A long time ago.
But you know, the thing is, where they're enacting all these changes, they have you know, public meetings all the time about this, and I attend a lot of that stuff, and it's very, very hard to sit through and watch the poor people who live there.
Oh, yeah.
Who've been there for years and years.
Oh, I know.
Sometimes multi-generational. They've run ranches and farms. They're not decimating the land. They don't want to decimate land that they've had in their family for 100 years.
And they know these people are going to decimate their way of life and their property.
Sure.
Yeah, it makes no sense.
Free-roaming buffalo and all this stuff.
And they try to tell these agency people, oh, wait, it doesn't actually work like that. I mean, they're really nice. I'm always kind of surprised at how nice they are.
Well, the agency
people
don't want it to work.
No, they actually don't.
They want them out of there. That's exactly what's the truth there. I get asked a lot when I'm giving a talk, are there any questions? And somebody will invariably say, well, Mr. Beers, we've got to go to some hearings that are coming up on this NEPA review of what they're going to do here, or on the proposal for free-roaming buffalo. And have you got any suggestions? I said, yeah. I said, don't go. Well, what do you mean? You know, I said, look, I said, God bless you. And I said, you're 100% right. But going to one of their hearings, you're going up against bureaucrats that have been running hearings for years. Bureaucrats that, when they come back, sit down and have coffee in the office and compare notes, and they say, well, there was some crazy guy that said this, that, and the other thing, but we had him timed out, and we had the law enforcement people remove him. Or, you know, we had our guy that was the university professor. We called on him next, and he refuted everything the guy said. I said, they've got you snookered like you can't believe. I said, it's almost like you're running a little league team asking me how you should play the Yankees tomorrow.
Yeah.
I said, they're good at this, and they know what they want. And I'm not trying to be defeatist when I tell you that, but all you do is give it a patina of, well, we've talked to the local people and taken into consideration their points, blah, blah, blah. When, in fact, the whole thing was a sham from start to finish.
Yeah, it doesn't matter if you show up with numbers and prove them wrong.
Nope,
they're still going to go back and say they had a successful meeting and all their points were well taken and we're going
to
proceed
forward.
Well,
I would encourage everyone to go to YouTube and look up Brawndo, B-R-A-W-N-D-O, and just look up the Brawndo meeting from the movie Idiocracy. And it's 2 minutes. Yeah, it's 2 minutes well spent, and it's literally – every public meeting you'll ever go to.
It's a blueprint.
All boiled down into a little nutshell. It goes in a circle. Nothing gets done, and there's no logic. And it's,
but that's what they
it's
want.
It's unfortunate.
No,
that's exactly what they want, though. They want the people out of there. I mean, I was up pheasant hunting a couple of years ago in Montana. I go to church on Sunday morning, and there's a sign there. Must have been 10 feet high and probably at least 12 feet wide. Great big letters. And right at the door where you walk into the church, vote no on free-roaming buffalo. And I asked one of the guys in church when I came on. I said, what's that all about? Oh, he says, I got a referendum here. He says, the state wants to put a bunch of free-roaming buffalo out here.
Oh,
and I said, holy cow. I said, you know, you guys got to stop that. I said, they're going to be standing out in the road at 11 o'clock at night when your wife's coming home from a meeting in town.
Be like hitting
with
the
kids in the back seat. You don't see them, and bang, you're going to hit them. They're going to go through your gardens. They're going to go through your crops. They're going to knock down fences where your cattle are. Yeah, we know it. We know it. We know it. You know. And I thought I gave some good advice. Well, that afternoon, I'm hunting with another guy and two dogs. And we're in this rolling Montana, northern Montana hill country there. It's got a lot of pheasants and sharptails in it. And we're walking. The dogs are up there wandering in front of us back and forth. And all of a sudden, it dawned on me. You know, if they had free-roaming buffalo here, the dogs walk over that little hill right in front of me and say there's four of them there, chewing on some grass or just laying down, and the dog startles them, and they're going to come up and they're going to go after the dog. And where's the dog going to go? The dog's going to go right back to me. And here I am with a double barrel 20 gauge with 6 shot in it.
Yeah.
And there isn't a tree within a mile.
That'll make them mad.
Where am I going to go? You know. But I mean, think about the government putting things out there like that.
Yeah, yeah.
They tell me this is a hunting area that my hunting money made the purchase, the excise taxes from guns and ammunition that they want to get rid of, so you can't do it anymore.
Yeah, but there's a fix for that. You know, I mean, if there is an issue like that, then you need to stay out of that area.
Exactly.
And then we'll be okay with it. You know, it's isolated.
They were here first.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's nuts with some of the stuff they want to do with these endangered
species. But they want me
species.
Out of there. They don't want me to have a gun.
Right.
And all
right.
That other stuff eventually. See, and they're in charge of these agencies right now for a lot of the reasons, not exclusively, but in large measure for what we were talking about the EEO changing the federal workforce and more laws getting passed and more unregulated regulations being written by these activist radicals that are running the government. And it pleases the politicians because they think they're pleasing the people in the cities that will reelect them.
Right. Well, and then the seeing what we see up here, especially with a lot of the bad water policy, is they'll pass like a good the one biological opinion I'm thinking of actually wasn't good, but pretend it was. Then what happens is the tribes and the environmentalists and all these groups they all sue, and some judge who lives down in San Francisco, William Orrick actually is his name, he'll make some idiotic ruling. And then he'll make another one, and another one, and another one, another one, another. So pretty soon, the original agreement is encumbered with all these court rulings. Well, then everyone's stuck. So they spend, you know, instead of 90% of their day growing food or, you know, raising livestock, they're spending all their time, you know, in court, yep, and doing fundraisers. There are more fundraisers in rural America than you can shake a stick at. Yeah. I don't know if people in other parts of the country, other parts of the world realize, but folks who live in these places that have a lot of public land, they spend the bulk of their time going to and supporting fundraisers to keep their rivers, keep their property open, and to fight back all this crazy bureaucracy. We have to take a really quick break. Sorry about that. We'll be right back with our guest, Jim Beers. You're listening to We the People. Join us online, wethepeopleradio.us. So as boring as all that stuff is and as stupid as it all is, the only way, I mean, really, the only thing we've got looking forward is to make sure you know what's going on in your local area, support the people who are doing the things we need, you know, growing our food, raising our livestock, and make sure that you're in contact with your elected officials because not everybody is down for this gig. And the folks that are opposing all of it, they're a minority, and they could use your support.
Yeah. No, and you know, a lot
at
of people...
At the state and federal level,
right,
actually.
A lot of people say, well, I'm pulling out of California. It's a lost cause. Well, that's great. I'm glad you can afford to do that, but it leaves darn few people left behind.
You buy that $800,000 magic box.
Well, yeah, but the people that are left are fewer in numbers that are going to fight this stuff, and you just can't give up.
I don't know, Jim. Got any good ideas for people?
Well, I try to understand what I'm saying when I talk about these things, and it depends a lot on each person's circumstances, their education, their financial backing as to where they can fit into trying to change this. But it means making it important, studying what's wrong, and seeing what's best for restoring your local government to help you get the state back on track. There's been a lot of things changed over the years. I mean, when they changed the way they elected senators, it just dramatically changed what we're dealing with here, where up until 1914, the senators were appointed by the state legislature, and after that, they were a popular vote in the state. So you've got senators today who really don't represent your state. They represent those feminists and those CEOs and civil rights people over here, and these animal rights people over here, and these radicals here, and these newly citizen-made what were formerly illegals. They represent this hodgepodge of people, and that's who they respect. There's nobody really representing you as a state anymore. And it goes for all of us.
Mm-hmm.
They represent a block within the state, and that's who they. And that block, for the most part, does not want you or me around.
No.
So, you know, you've got to learn to deal with that from where you are, and there's no one. People look to me a lot of times like I'm going to tell them, oh, in Section H of Paragraph 3, if you change the verb, you know, all of a sudden this will all disappear.
God, wouldn't that be
That's
nice?
That's not the case.
The thread, the magic thread.
Yep.
Well, a lot of it, you know, I think sometimes people don't get involved because they don't feel like they know enough to get into any kind of a discussion, but I don't know. There's one thing that always matters, and it's body count. And so if there's something big going on in your area, you might not be an expert, so don't go to the microphone and speak, perhaps, or have somebody else, you know, give you some smart stuff to say for 3 minutes in your comment period. But showing up and lending your support to those folks that are knowledgeable in that area, that makes a big, big difference. And it gives them the will to continue pressing forward.
Good
but, you know, it's always interesting to me that those meetings, they always... You know, some people leave and they're all angry, but most of the time what I find is that folks in rural America who are predominantly conservative that want to use the land for the benefit of the land and the people and, you know, keep things on an even keel that way.
Yeah, their community, the hospital.
They just
school.
Want to be able to educate their kids and, you know, do stuff. Those folks are normally, you know, every time I go to one of those things, it's like, well, let's all go to dinner after, you know. And it's usually a pretty good social time. So it isn't just an axe grinding session. But tell you what, you have to give those people some support because it's very hard to make it in rural America. And I'll tell you what, we lose the ability. You know, they talk a lot about all of this, you know, Middle East and all this national security. And we've got, you know, Saudis on our bases and we're vetting them to see if they're secretly creepy. And that's all great. But I'll tell you what, we lose the ability to feed the people in this country. That'll be the greatest national security threat next to an EMP that we'll ever face.
Yep. That's true. Well, they want to change that, too. They don't want you to eat meat. They don't want you to start eating these tofu burgers or whatever it is.
Oh, yeah, the meatless burgers. That's the big
Bill's
thing.
Bill's totally into that.
Oh,
he loves kale,
I
too.
I can't wait.
Kale's a big seller.
But, I mean, they want that. You know, they want they laugh when you say, well, you know, people want to have them grow their meat or grow their food. They say, well, you know, we'll just manufacture it. Ha, ha. You know, there we go. It's kind of like climate change trumps all. And their mind doesn't work that way. And you and I have to be as active as we can be and as much publicity as we can get, like you're saying, in a way that best suits our temperament, our background, the threats around us, and work against what's going on there. So there isn't just one size fits all, but the point you made is very good, though, about showing up.
Yeah.
Yeah. Not everybody, you know, wants to spend the time, but you know, I guess I'll use this also as a time to plug your email list that you send out. You send out some really, really interesting stuff for starters. It's very well informed. It's well researched, and it isn't, you know, secret science stuff.
Mm-hmm.
It isn't something that is you're going to need to sit down and, you know. Go to school on. And
well, that's what I try to do. I really do.
It's very helpful, and it's written for regular people. And, you know, once you read through some of these things, you can get educated in a fairly short period of time.
Well, I hope people read it, and I encourage them to send it to your neighbors, send it to your relatives, send it to your coworkers. You know, send it to everybody you think that might be interested in it. And then if you got questions, ask me. I try to help people as much as I can. You know, I'll give them advice for what, and I don't charge anything. I don't send my list to anybody else or any that. I do this because it's got to be done. And I just try to, I think we should all be like that and try to help each other, help our communities, and see what you've got in common with these other people that are being harmed by this sort of new wave way we're governing ourselves right now. And try to change it. You know, you just got to make it important, and you got to vote right, and you've got to, like you say, show up. You got to write letters to the editor. You've got to stand up to people when they start, instead of being intimidated and hanging your head and walk off, when they start talking a lot of this nonsense, tell them they're talking nonsense. And you don't, not in a way that wants to start a fight, but that you want to explain to them why they're wrong.
Yeah.
What you believe is true and what's right.
And sometimes it feels, I think we've gotten, I think people have sort of generally adopted the idea that everyone's picked a team at this point. Everyone's in a camp and there's no crossover. But yeah. Really interesting. I spoke with a guy last week who was saying that when are we going to start doing something about global warming because climate change because it's of all these fires in Australia. And by the end of the conversation, he was really angry that our forest policy is so out of whack and that that's what is causing the fires here and there.
Well, and also the information he had was all incorrect.
He was all pissed that they'd lied to him.
The media had lied to him.
He's like, oh my gosh, that's a lie. I go, well, pay, don't take my word for it. Go look it up. But, this is something to consider. And, he said, I cannot believe that. That's just terrible. So just about the time you think that, this is a fool's errand, but okay, I'll throw it out there. Somebody says, what do you mean? And you have the ability to maybe walk through that door and give them some information.
Yep, that's right.
So, your emails are a great way to do that. So I've attached two of them on the page for today. So people can go to wethepeopleradio.us, and Jim Beer's information is on there for today's show, January 12th, 2020. And then I linked a show that we did May 22nd of 2016. I cannot believe it was that long ago. That was the Lost in the Wilds of Neglect.
I've been busy with a whole lot of things, too, in the meantime.
So. Well, apparently.
Well, we all try to do the best we can. I've been traveling a lot and giving talks. And I also had a bad hack job on my computer, and I have to do this all myself. And it just
that's always
takes
nice,
a lot of time
isn't
and
it?
Effort. But even like your radio program, marvelous, marvelous stuff that you do that.
People can, we'll have the commercial free archive up later today. If you want to put it on a thumb drive and give it to people, if you want to burn CDs and sell them, we don't care what you do with it.
Right.
Just get the information out.
You bet.
Because that's absolutely the most important thing. Jim, our time has ended. We have a fun global warming song to go out with so we can make a little fun at our...
Hey, thanks for coming on, Jim. It was a great talk.
At the expense of our brethren, our uninformed brethren. Thanks, Jim.
Yeah.
We will talk to you again soon.
All right, bye.
Out of the clouds.